saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord.
That's it. There we go. Well, good morning, everybody. We're continuing in our series about the body of Christ. And there we have a summary of what we're looking at week by week. And today's topic is healing. And I've called it a kind of subtitle, Copying the Master. Now, when I used to teach in primary schools, one game I used to pick out the best musicians was quite simply, copy my sound. So I'd like you to be my class for today, and I'd like you to copy my sound. You only have to clap your hands. Have you got your hands ready? Would you please copy my sound? Hold on, you need to watch first. Oh, there's some very keen members of the class here. Good. Ah, you're very good. Excellent. You see, you're right on the ball there. Now, I have another game for you, which is copy my gesture. And I need some volunteers here. I'd like you to come out. What it is that I will simply do one gesture, and you need to copy it if I say, do this. If I say, do that, you stay absolutely still. And if you move, then you're out. Who's going to have a try? Come on, come on. One, two people. Come on. Off we go. Oh, we've got them. Yes. Come on, Matthew, hurry up. Oh, that's probably about right. Probably all right. One, two, three, four, five, six. I'm going to stand here, and everyone is going to watch you and see if you move. And you've got to move quickly, because otherwise you're out anyway. So, anyway, do this. Oh, come on, Judy. Right, do this. Do this. Do that. Oh, Judy's still in, isn't she? Judy's still in, yeah. Shall we give him another shot? Oh, come on. Let's give another go. Right, do this, do this, do this. Oh, I thought I was just, staying up here. Never mind. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do that, do that. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do that. You get the idea. Let's give them all a hand. Very good. Excellent. Actually, you could see them really concentrating hard, couldn't you? It's something you can get better at. I've been talking about copy my sound, copy my gesture. The reason I've used these games is because I want to focus on the way Peter copied Jesus. When he healed the two people in this chapter, particularly Tabitha. Now, in Mark chapter 5, verse 38, we read of how the synagogue official's daughter was raised to life by Jesus, and how Peter, James, and John were given privileged access to observe the master at work. It seems amazing that Peter was given this VIP treatment when, on other occasions, he got things so spectacularly wrong. So, how well had he learned his lessons? Firstly, let's move on. Peter was led by the Spirit. He knew that he had to respond to the call for help. Peter wasn't sent to heal everyone, and God didn't send anyone, in fact, to raise up Stephen, for example, when he was stoned to death, or anyone later on to raise up James when he was beheaded. So Peter had to rely on the Lord's infinite wisdom and the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he dealt with the distractions. Like Jesus, he was completely focused on what he had to do. Now, we might not have to contend with wailing widows, perhaps, like he did, but sometimes we can all be inclined, can't we, to be so taken up with the problem that we all fail to notice that God has already provided the solution. Also, I noticed he got down on his knees. He acknowledged that he was completely dependent on God's power. Whether we're sitting, kneeling, lying down, or standing up is not the main issue. But sometimes using a different position can help us focus on the Lord and show him that we mean business. Also, when he was praying, he used the same words as Jesus did when he healed that other person I referred to. Then he took her by the hand. Now, in the ministry of healing, we acknowledge the importance of touch. Of course, we can pray for people who are a long, long way away. But the Lord seems to delight in our using a touch to accompany our prayers for healing. So, what was... Oopsie, I've gone too far there. That one's disappeared. Mine. I'll come back to that one. What was the result of all this? Many people believed in the Lord. Peter made sure that the healing was made public, but he didn't stick around to take the credit. Your homework for today is to read the next chapter and to see the next challenge that God had in store for him. So, what can we learn from the story? What can we learn from this story? How can we copy Jesus? You know, sometimes the best thing we can do is simply to be there for someone. To be the right person in the right place at the right time. When her mum was nearing the end, Ruth was given great encouragement and comfort when the hospice nurse who turned up was none other than our very own Patricia Ellard. We need to be there for each other. Who can you be there for? Yesterday, my Japanese student took her English exam. She's worked very hard, but she knows that her accent is still a weak point in her speaking. Goodness knows how many times I've asked her to copy my sound when she's been practicing words like father, father, learn, lan, and language, language. No, language, language. I'd only found out yesterday, actually, from a friend who knows a bit more than about linguistics than I do, that actually the way in which we say R and L is literally completely foreign to a number of other speakers. They just don't know the difference. And so no wonder she finds it hard. Similarly, my Russian students groan when I ask them to repeat the line, "It's worth walking to work." So, come on, try it. Come on, let's everyone be a Russian. Ready? Go. "It's worth working to work." You see what I mean? Copying Jesus takes practice too. Think about that one. So finally, we must trust the Lord's power to heal. If we look at, I have here a copy of last week's notice sheet. Did you see what Anne and Clive had written? "We were blessed to hear testimonies of healings after prayers on our previous trip. This was a great encouragement, not only for us, but for the people being visited this time. It intensified expectations for what God can do, and many people were keen to receive prayer. We witnessed a number of salvations and further healings, and keep those in our prayers who need more of God's healing power." So that's encouraging, isn't it? And I want to say again about this whole question of being there for people. Some of you know that I also teach an English class for refugees and migrants in Sutton. Now, a recent addition to this class is a lady with 2 degrees, one in Arabic, one in theology. She's from Syria, and she's desperately keen to learn, and I think she's going to go far. I trust that with God's help, I can be the right person for her in the right place at the right time, a part of the healing process for her as she begins a new life away from the horrors of war. We need to be there for those in the greatest need, like Jesus and like Peter. So who can you stand alongside? Listen to these words from the book of James. This is James 5 and 14. Some encouragement about healing. Come on, this one. There it is. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." And this verse in particular. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." So we are encouraged to copy Jesus, to copy Jesus like Peter did, or as Paul put it, to be imitators of Christ. There's our memory verse for today. Let's say this together. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children. Ephesians 5, verse 1. So let's spend a few moments in silence now, asking the Lord how we can do just that. Father God, thank you that you've made us in your image. Help us to imitate your ways and so reveal the family likeness to your needy and hurting world. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew.